The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Okay, you might have to get me my blood pressure cuff today.
Why is that?
I might be ready to pop.
You're just starting.
I might be ready to pop.
Just turn on the mic.
I have comments on pretty much every one of your news stories.
I can't say that I crafted my newscast that way.
No, but I would argue, you said in spite of how much we're spending on homelessness, more people are dying than ever. It's been my argument that because of how much we're spending, we're attracting more homeless to this region. And the reason we have more deaths is because of how much we're spending on that. And then we got the straw ban, statewide straw ban that this Bellevue, a state legislator?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do you remember the story that I had a few months ago about where all of this, because I heard the soundbite you had with her. And she said, these straws are polluting all of our rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the story that I had a few months ago about where all that information came from?
But remind me.
All the data that is being cited by these politicians who want straw bans came from a 10-year-old child's school report 10 years ago. And then some celebrities made a video that repeated his number, and I had a great piece from John Stossel, because CNN interviewed this 10-year-old boy. This is 10 years ago, and this is the data that all these politicians are using for a straw ban.
Confirm the exact number of straws used annually, but it's easily in the billions. And he says, get this, 500 million straws are used in the U.S. every day, an average of 1.6 straws per person. And most straws are not biodegradable. When they go to the dump, they stay there. These facts encourage 10-year-old Milo Kress to go on a one-man crusade to press restaurants to do one simple thing to help the environment. Only give customers a straw if they ask for one.
Okay, and the kid was adorable, but it was a 10-year-old school report. And it had absolutely no statistical validity whatsoever. He made up this. He didn't make it up, but he extrapolated from one phone call that he made, which, 10-year-old school report, good for him. But the fact that that has become the baseline for politicians saying we're going to ban straws, that's, does this Bellevue politician, does she know that the source for the data that she's giving out was a 10-year-old school kid in Vermont report from 2011? It's unbelievable to me.
She's not the only one who's using that statistic.
Everybody does.
Yeah, because I'm looking at all these stories now. I'm looking at USA Today. Looking at some plastics or anti-plastics coalition.
Oh, yeah. No, it's all based on a 2011 school report by a 10-year-old child. And when people who are much more data specified have looked into it, they know that the number is just wildly exaggerated. So you got that.
So there's if you look at plastic in general, but to make it about plastic straws, then
even plastic in general. I had that story. 90% of the plastic in oceans, or 90+% comes from 10 rivers in the world, 8 of which are in Asia, one's in, I think, South America, none are in North America, and the United States is responsible for almost none of the plastic in oceans, we covered that when they did the plastic bag ban. It's just all this feel-good nonsense. We'll do things that make us feel good, even if they don't actually result in doing good.
Meanwhile, I think Nicole is like collecting plastic straws now to make sure she doesn't run out.
Yes.
I do. I hoard them in my car now. Every time I go to Starbucks, I get 3 just in case.
I have a huge area in my garage just filled with Albertsons plastic bags because my dopey city is banning plastic bags starting next week. So, I haven't even gotten to the show yet. This is all just based on your newscast. But I have a bit of a rant to start the show as well.
The Big Lead, top trending.
Now, I haven't listened to any of our radio coverage today, but I saw the coverage this morning of the Jeff Bezos divorce. I don't know when I have seen a more nauseatingly covered story in my life.
So what in particular were you nauseated by?
Oh, it's going to be the most expensive divorce ever. Do they have a prenup? Is she going to get half?
I think I've used a couple of those lines.
Okay, I'm sorry if you have. But...
Oh, I didn't say, is she going to get half? Because with Washington being a community state.
Community property state.
Yeah.
So she probably will get half. Yeah. And then seeing this network stuff.
How hypocritical, though? Okay, what's your issue with it?
Okay, so they split it 50-50. They're each worth $70 billion. They split it 80-20. He gets $110, she gets $40 billion. They're going to both be among the richest people on the planet, regardless of how it's split up. And to me, this is just me. There are four children involved here. There are four children, 13, what are they, 13 to 17, 13 to 18. Three that they had together and one little girl that they adopted from China.
But he is the richest man in the world. He's a very public figure. You don't think it's worthy of mentioning?
He's going to be the richest man in the world.
This hasn't stopped you any other time. Why Jeff Bezos suddenly have an issue?
Because, first of all, I don't know why people get divorced. Thankfully, I've never been positioned to contemplate
that. Okay, speaking
of,
you're a numbers guy. You know the statistics.
I know.
It's horrible.
Yeah, although the 50% stat is also made up by the media, that 50% of marriages end in divorce. But that's a whole other story. But frankly, I don't know why they're getting a divorce. It's none of my business. I don't really care. I don't care if he has $70 billion or $110 billion after this process. But there are four children involved here. And it just seems so crass to me that, first of all, I've heard everybody talk about that Chinese girl they adopted. What, the luckiest Chinese adoptee ever.
I've heard
when they first adopted her, there was all kinds of talk to be adopted by the world's richest man. And I think it'd be better to have, you know, both a mom and a dad than to have all the money in the world.
And so are you suggesting you would just ignore the story? I mean, we're reporting that there are four children. It's a very amicable-sounding divorce.
I think it's very newsworthy because he's the world's richest man. But the fact that all the talk was about how they're going to split their money, who cares? They're both going to be... She is going to be one of the 20 richest people on the planet,
but that is
regardless of how they split it.
I will say, when there is a story about him being the richest or Bill being the richest, like you choose to talk about those because they're stories. Well, this will bump him down a little bit.
But because he's made $12 billion this year in the first 9 days of this year, he's still in the top five.
He lost $30 billion in December.
Okay. See, you're tracking, Dory. You're tracking. I get what you're saying about these four children. But you know what? I'll tell you what's really foul about the way it's being covered in some way, and I did not cover it this way. Oh, he's suddenly the world's most eligible bachelor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Anybody have any contacts?
Jeez. Good grief. What about her? Is she the world's most...
And that's what I pointed out. She's equally as eligible.
But, But not... I don't even have time to get into this. I've got so many other things I have to talk about. But look, let me put it this way. He is... Do you think he's going to end up with a 30-year-old supermodel now?
I have no idea.
Because she's not going to end up with a 30-year-old male supermodel.
Why not?
Why not?
It's not the way it works.
Oh.
It's not the way it works.
Have you... Okay, never mind. I'm about to say
this
something
is not
that I will
newsworthy.
Regret.
Well, we're so
I agree.
I agree.
It's about the children. That's my bottom line here. Okay. Let's move on. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
What about the children? So last night, Donald Trump made his Oval Office address to the nation, talking about why we need a wall on our southern border.
In the last 2 years, ICE officers made 266,000 arrests of aliens with criminal records, including those charged or convicted of 100,000 assaults, 30,000 sex crimes, and 4,000 violent killings. Over the years, thousands of Americans have been brutally killed by those who illegally entered our country, and thousands more lives will be lost if we don't act right now. This is a humanitarian crisis, a crisis of the heart, and a crisis of the soul.
Now, I am one who believes that a southern border wall would be a very, very good, or barrier. That's the new phrase. I'm one who believes that would be a very, very good thing for America, a southern border barrier, because we do have people dying every day from fentanyl that's being smuggled in from Mexico. There's no question that we could dramatically reduce the amount of fentanyl and heroin that's coming into our country if we had a way to close down the border. There are women who are getting raped, as he reported, as they are being trafficked up to the border. The coyotes who smuggle in children into this country. It is a despicable industry. And you know, they've tried fact-checking. This was really annoying. Shepard Smith on Fox tried fact-checking Trump on how many illegals kill in our country.
Speaking specifically about murder rates among those who are undocumented immigrants, the government statistics show that there is less violent crime by the undocumented immigrant population than by the general population.
Well, now that's an absolutely unprovable stat and likely fake news, because in all the sanctuary states, they don't track crimes committed by illegals. I had King County Sheriff Mitzi Jo Hanknik in the studio, and I asked her point blank, what's the crime rate among illegals? And she said, we can't track that. We don't have the data. We don't ask the question. And so when you have, you know, supposed fact checkers who say the murder rate is lower with illegals than Americans, in sanctuary states, they don't keep that data at all. And California is a sanctuary state. Washington is a sanctuary state. We have no idea what the crime rate is among illegals here in the Puget Sound area. No idea. The cops have a pretty good idea. But as far as gathering data, they are not allowed to. So don't be passing out that phony stat. And even if that's true, do American citizens commit murders, commit rapes? Of course. But every time there is a murder or a rape by somebody who got into this country illegally, that is one that could have been prevented if we didn't allow people to stream into this country illegally. So here's the president making more points.
This is a choice between right and wrong, justice and injustice. This is about whether we fulfill our sacred duty to the American citizens we serve. When I took the oath of office, I swore to protect our country. And that is what I will always do. So help me God.
The part that I truly don't understand from the opposition is that a wall is immoral. How is enforcing our borders or strengthening our borders immoral? I have never understood that argument, that it is immoral to enforce the borders of our nation and still allow in a million immigrants a year through a legal process, still embrace the diversity, the melting pot that is America. But what's him? And, you know, the White House has a huge wall around it. Is that immoral? The Vatican has a wall. Israel has a wall. Are all walls immoral? If you live in a walled home or community, if you're part of the liberal crowd, the liberal elite that live in the highlands, where you have a guard gate and you have walls, are you immoral for that? How is having a border wall immoral? And then after the president spoke, that was just comical, watching Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all the memes that went out about Ma and Pa Kettle and the disapproving parents and all of that.
The symbol of America should be the Statue of Liberty, not a 30-foot wall.
The wall's not going to be the symbol of America. It's going to be one element in America. And what makes all of this particularly disgusting, and whether you agree or disagree with Trump on the wall, I happen to agree with him. But what is particularly disgusting is all of these Democrats who supported a barrier when Obama and Bush were president.
American people are fundamentally pro-legal immigration and anti-illegal immigration.
I voted numerous times when I was a senator to spend money to build a barrier.
We simply cannot allow people to pour into the United States undetected, undocumented, unchecked.
That's right, Barack Obama. You're right. You were right about that. And this is what I find so particularly disgusting and reprehensible. These people, Chuck Schumer, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, they supported a barrier when they had love of country above all else. Now they oppose a barrier because their hatred of Trump trumps their love of America. And it's disgusting to watch. It's absolutely disgusting. And that is your big lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Do you want every single road in the region to be tolled? State Senator Tim Sheldon wants to stop that from happening, and he joins me next. Well, it was 18 years ago when I broke the story on my show about the 20-year plan to eventually toll every single road in this region. And there are a lot of people, a lot of powerful forces that are still on track to try to achieve that goal. And with the tunnel opening up, there are a lot of people who are afraid that people are going to avoid tunnel tolls and clog downtown streets. And their solution? Well, let's toll the downtown streets then so we can get money from everybody. State Senator Tim Sheldon has introduced a bill that would prohibit a downtown Seattle tolling plan, and the senator joins us here on Cairo Radio. Senator, always good to talk to you.
Thanks, Dory. Yeah, it's really an interesting topic. I'll tell you, it's Senate Bill 5104. I pre-filed it yesterday, so hopefully I'll get some sponsors to sign on Monday, the first day of this regular session.
Okay, now let's start at the beginning. And what I said at the beginning, because I had some really good intel about this Puget Sound master plan to toll every road. They want to get transponders on every one of our cars, and it might be 25 cents to drive your kid to the neighborhood school. It might be $25 to get into downtown Seattle. You're in the Senate. You have been for a long time. Is that accurate that there are still people who would like to see every single road tolled in our region?
Yes, and I think this is especially true of Seattle's mayor and the city council. And we have seen documents where their planners have advocated for this, that, you know, coming into the city without paying is a luxury. You know, why should you be able to do that? You know, and you're right on about the tolling. It's not going to be tolling with a toll booth or throwing quarters in a basket like on the East Coast.
Right.
It's going to be a high-tech tolling, and they may photograph your license plate. They may have a transponder, but they want your dollars for a road that's already been constructed. You already paid for it.
Well, and this is why, and I know this because I got these documents as well, Senator. Several years ago, when they were first putting the toll lanes on 167 and 405, they ran a multi-million-dollar good-to-go ad campaign because they wanted everybody, or as many people as possible, to get a transponder in their vehicle. Now, that wasn't just for 405 and 167. It was for this eventual plan to get everyone comfortable with that so that they could toll every single road. Now, I know this is certain And that's why I think people should pay such close attention to your bill, because you are the bulwark against this effort around here.
Yes. And hopefully I'll get some of the Seattle legislators to sign on. This is all related, as you mentioned here, to vehicle miles traveled. The whole idea that people should pay by the mile. And I'll have a bill as well on the first day of the session to ban that practice, because, you know, the state has taken a little bit of federal money and done a survey about it. And once you put this transponder in, they can even tell if you took an illegal left-hand turn. I mean, they can start sending you tickets in the mail.
Well, not only that, but there was a case just in the last couple of weeks where it was a court dispute, a legal dispute that had nothing to do with somebody's driving, but they were able to obtain the transponder information to determine if a person was in a certain place at a certain time. And the privacy consequences of this should be shocking to everybody.
Yes. And, Dory, what they're trying to do is change the whole system of how you're charged for your use of the roads. A gas tax like we have is the most efficient way to do it. The administration of the gas tax is about one half of 1 cent per gallon. And now we have a gas tax with the federal tacked on that's about 50 cents a gallon. But that's pretty efficient collection. When you start to go to these high-tech means, you get very, very expensive collection. And the privacy concerns, of course, are astronomical. It's a scary thing. What's wrong with the gas tax the way we do it? Now, if the salesman that drives 100,000 miles a year, he pays, you know, 100 times what the lady that drives 1,000 miles.
Yeah, but the other thing is, and this is where I find the left so hypocritical, they talk constantly about the climate change and the environment. The gas tax provides a market-based incentive to drive a more efficient car. You don't want to pay as much gas tax? Get an electric car. If you're that salesman who drives 100,000 miles a year, you know, get the most efficient vehicle. And if you're somebody who loves having a pickup or needs to have a pickup or an SUV, you'll pay more for that choice. And I would think that that is a process that the left would particularly love around here.
Well, they don't. I mean, I spent 23 years in that Democratic caucus. I've been elected 11 times as a Democrat. I know these people. And really, it's a very different way that they look at the world. They talk about democratic values and everyone treated the same. Let's help the poor. Let's work for the low income to bring them up. But these policies don't help the low income. They hurt them.
Sure.
They hurt them badly. And the people, you know, the term Lexus Lane is coined because that's a good a way to describe how we're going. Well, the idea that if you can pay enough, you can go into Seattle, and if you can't afford it, you can't get in. That the drawbridge is closed is ridiculous.
Let me play for you a soundbite, Senator. We're talking with Senator Tim Shelton. This is Seattle City Councilman Mike O'Brien. And this is his rationale for why we need to toll all the roads in downtown Seattle.
Well, so like one option is folks that are on 99 that are going to try to divert to get out of the tunnel because they don't want to pay that toll. Do we have some sort of toll that says, hey, you're going to pay a toll one way or the other. So if you're going to use a tunnel, just use it.
I just find that so despicable, because if somebody avoids the tunnel because they can't afford $500 or $600 or $700 a year to give to this toll, if their family budget doesn't allow that, Mike O'Brien says, well, we're going to find a way to get you anyway. And when politicians start thinking like that, I find that really scary.
Yes, it is. It is scary. And the people, the average people, should be really concerned about this, because that's who they're coming after. And how are you going to get to, you know, we have a company here in Mason County, wonderful people, Olympic Mountain Ice Cream. You eat that product once and you love it. So they come into Seattle 3 days a week. It's just driving the cost of their product up. It's just amazing to me that we want, from an economic standpoint, we want to prevent people from entering the city. What about the people that have to go to the Eye Institute at Harborview Hospital?
Yeah,
those are specialists. Those are some of the best in the country. They can't get there. They're going to have to pay. pay to go into the doctor. The cities are an asset to the rest of the state because you have the port, you have the entertainment, you have these facilities for health care, for education. Are we going to draw that bridge up again and not let people access some of these things?
Yeah, because they can't afford it.
It's just going the wrong way.
Yeah,
going the wrong way.
You can't afford it, so you can't go to the Cancer Care Alliance. Yeah. It's just, it's insane. Right. It's pure insane. Okay, so your bill would prohibit all future, what exactly does it prohibit?
Yes. It prohibits cities and counties. It does not single out Seattle. It singles out all cities and counties from enacting tolls on vehicles.
And is there a way that they could with legislative or voter approval?
Right now they can do it. This would take away their ability to do it by Councilmatic and by vote of the people.
Okay, got it.
A vote of the people. I like votes of the people, but sure. But if the people in Seattle want to do it, what about the rest of us?
What are your chances?
We still got to get there.
I only have a few seconds here. But first of all, I'm always fascinated. I don't know why you're still a Democrat. But now that Democrats have give me a quick answer on that.
Well, first of all, the food is not very good in the caucus. I mean, I'm tired of eating bean curd doing aromatherapy. So I like the food better in the Republican caucus, and that's probably the main reason, Dory.
Well, no, that explains why you caucus with Republicans. Why are you a Democrat?
They caucus with me.
Okay, all right.
They hang with me.
Okay, Democrats have gotten even.
It really gets down to rural versus urban for me.
Okay, and then real quick,
now, yeah,
Democrats have gotten stronger control. What are your chances of passing a bill that would restrict money flow to the state?
From restrict like a cap on
just banning the tolling?
Or?
No, just banning the tolling.
Oh, on the tolling?
Yeah.
On this bill, I think the Seattle legislators will say, oh, we don't want to offend the mayor. We don't want to offend the city council. You know, they're our friends. So I'm afraid that the bill will perhaps not get a hearing, although I'm hopeful that some of the Democrats will sign on because, you know, the best lobbyist is a constituent.
Yeah.
And their constituents have to start feeling the pain here.
And that's where my listeners have to reach out to their legislators and just let them know you can't afford tolls on every road. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Tell them that. Sign on Monday to House or Senate Bill 5104.
Got it. All right.
Be part of the solution.
Senator, it's always great talking with you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dory.
Okay. Senator Tim Sheldon joining us, and I'm really serious about that because it's coming. I've been telling you about it for 18 years. It's happened exactly on the timeline that I've been giving you. And if you want to avoid tolling on every single road in the region, get your legislator to support Senator Sheldon's bill. Senate Bill 5104. Text me at 98973, the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. Much more straight ahead, the Dory Monson Show. Love to hear your thoughts and everything we're discussing. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. There is some breaking news coming out of Washington, D.C., where President Trump, after his wall meeting last night, he called in some congressional leaders. Reportedly, Chuck Schumer says that Trump walked out of the meeting. Let's see. Steve Scalise is speaking right now. He says that the Democrats just are not putting an offer on the table at all. So there is still an impasse with the government shutdown. By the way, has the government shutdown had a major impact on your life? And I know if you like going to national parks, some of them are closed. Joshua Tree was open, but they just closed Joshua Tree, which is one of my favorite places on earth. I like going down to the desert in the springtime. And we try to always go to Joshua Tree and scramble up the sandstone rock. And there's such great hikes there. I just find it so beautiful. But anyway, to me, the government shutdown is an example that we could literally cut government in half and nobody except the people suckling at the government teat would feel it. I mean, yeah, there would be people who would have to transition from public sector to private sector jobs, but I would argue our economy would get much stronger because the private sector is productive, government is not. And so, when we've had a government shutdown for nearly 3 weeks, and they've kept essential jobs, TSA and the like, but I don't think that your life and mine are dramatically different. And so to me, this is just an example that we have such bloated government. We could get rid of half of City of Seattle government. And other than the employees who would have to transition to private sector jobs, nobody would feel it. Nobody would notice a thing. King County government, Washington State government, the federal government. We could cut them all in half. And I'm serious about this. If we restored government to just its essential duties and stopped making it our mother and father, our caretaker, our nanny, we would be such a more productive country. Individuals would become so much more individually productive because they would start to learn to take responsibility for their own life instead of trying to use government as a lever to pry money out of other people's bank accounts. And so there was a complete breakdown in this wall meeting between Trump. President Trump says that the meeting with the Democrats was a complete waste of time. Vice President Pence is speaking right now. He says Democratic leaders are unwilling to even negotiate to end the shutdown because, again, for the Democrats, the wall is immoral. The wall that they all supported just a few years ago is suddenly immoral today. And that's the, as I've been saying, that's the most disgusting aspect of all of this is them calling something they support. And, you know, I said it a few minutes ago. Back when Chuck Schumer and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, back when they all loved the wall.
The symbol of America.
Whoops, no, that's not that one. That's this one.
American people are fundamentally pro-legal immigration and anti-illegal immigration.
I voted numerous times when I was a senator to spend money to build a barrier.
They loved Hillary and Chuck Schumer loved the country more than they hated the president when it was Obama and Bush as president. Now they hate the president more than they love the country. NBC News, this is 2006.
Albert Ellis is a retired immigration agent who owns a ranch on the border. He says he's tired of people trampling across his property.
Yeah, I always have a weapon when I go in the woods here.
This section of the border at San Ysidro, south of San Diego, was once the number one hot spot for illegal crossings. But not since they beefed up the fence here in the 1990s. It cut the flow of illegal immigration here way back.
In just the past 7 months, the number of illegal immigrants trying to cross an Eagle Pass has dropped by nearly 90%.
It's a night and day difference.
Huh. When Obama was president, the news networks were touting the effectiveness of a wall. Now they hate it. That's 15 next.